Good morning. Okay, I like to, in German, we always say, I like to German it into you. Well, I don't know, that doesn't, and each, I don't know how I'll say that in English, but I can explain what I mean. I like to make you understand one truth today, if possible. And that truth is, if you understand the truth, then you're set free. And I want you to understand that you are able to understand that truth sets you free. That's my desire. That's what I like to talk about today. And let me see how I'll be able to present that what I like to. This is the message. This is title. The truth frees you. Comes off of John 8, verse 32. Let me read that verse. After I have read that verse, let's then bow our heads. But first, let me read that. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let's bow our heads. Father God, I come to you this morning. I just thank you that you have been able to bring that truth to me, that I know that truth sets me free. I just pray that I could bring this message across the way that they could understand what I'm trying to say, and I believe many of them have that understanding that truth does set them free. But I just pray that those that don't have that understanding, they could have that understanding, and those that do have that understanding, they could be blessed and renewed with that is true, and it does set us free, and it gives us a free freedom. Thank you for that, and I just pray that you be with me and with the audience as they are listening. I pray and thank you. I pray and I thank this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I think we should talk about what does free mean. What is free? In this scripture here, what does that free mean? I'll give you some examples. What I believe what this free means. It does mean that salvation, which is the truth, does set us free. Yes, but it goes much deeper, I believe, than just as one truth. I believe it could mean to a measure, and I believe it goes very far to this direction, what I'm trying to explain this morning, talk about this morning, that the truth sets us free. I'm going to explain by different examples where we do have the freedom. And through that, I would like us to understand what I mean by what kind of freedom we have when we're free. One very simple one is, if I add 2 to 2, what is that? That's 4, right? We don't need to think about it. We just know right off it's 4. Is that right? How long do you have to scratch your head if you multiply 5 times 5? 5 times 5. Are you free to know what 5 times 5 is, or do you have to think about it? I, for myself, I'm free. It's 25. It's not even a question. I just know. It's nothing that I need to scratch my head about to think about, hey, what is 5 times 5? No, it's 25, and I'm free. I know that 5 times 5 is 25. That's a freedom that I have. And then another explanation I'll give, that's where I have not freedom, and I gain freedom. That's this. I was working with Ron there for 3 years ago. I was working with Ron, and he has this articling, I think it is called this big John Deere, and I was not free to reverse this thing with the trailer, because how does this all work, right? But then, after I've been driving it for just a little bit, I found out that there's much more freedom in reversing a tractor like that with a trailer than another one, because you just watch the back and you push the trailer backward. You just push the trailer wherever you want. It just pushes the trailer. You know what I mean? Now I'm trying to give you a truth that you say, ah, and so the light goes on, and now you're free to reverse a tractor from now on. Okay. I'll try to make you free. You're probably bound. I don't know. Maybe you know, but maybe you're bound. You don't know how to reverse a trailer. On this one, I'll try to set you free. This is the trailer, and then we always have to, on a regular tractor, we always have to angle it and then push it around accordingly how we want to reverse. With this articling tractor, it articles here, and then the only thing you need to do is steer, and this whole thing switches over to this side. So you don't need to do anything but just push the trailer wherever you want to go. Who's free? Who got it? Okay, there's at least a few of them that got it. What I'm trying to say, that pushing around. Now, if I should choose which one I want to reverse a trailer with, I will pick this one, because this one is much easier. I'm set free to do this with this tractor. And now, it's a knowing, it's an understanding that it comes without thinking. You're free. That's what I believe that free means. We have different areas that we can be free, and we can be free of smoking. We can be free of overeating. And that is that you don't even need to think about it. You don't need to think about stopping to eat. You stop before you've been able to say, I'm eating too much. No, you don't need to do that. You're free. You stop before you've been thinking about it and you're scratching your head. That's the freedom. I believe that the truth sets you free. And if you're in a problem that you are overeating all the time, or you're addicted to anything, then I really believe that the truth has not set you free. That there's an understanding that you do not have. If you would have that understanding of God or of a truth, that we know how it works and how it is, then it does set us free. And the opposite from truth is a lie. Sometimes we believe a lie, and we believe it without thinking about it. Just as we know that 25, just as well as we know 5 times 5 gives 25, we don't need to think about it. Sometimes just as easy and as good as that, we know and we believe a lie. It's like, it will go like this, 5 times 5 is 24, and we just know it's 24. And we always act and behave as if it's 24, and it doesn't work. If we are able to catch our mistakes, where we're going wrong, then we're able to go back and see where is the truth, or what is the truth. Just one little story that I read, or maybe I heard, I'm not quite sure. There was a teenager, and she was really struggling with gaining or having enough weight. She was not having enough weight. She was really skinny. And the doctors weren't able to help her, and then they were sitting down to see what's wrong with this little girl here. And they sat down and talked with her. And then she said that when they were going to school way back when she was young, the children had been talking about it, that if you cannot put your fingers around the wrist, then you're too fat. And she happened to have very short fingers, and she couldn't put them around, so she was too fat. She was adding this up wrong. And she did that without thinking. She always, like I was saying, 25 is not 25, it's 24. She was adding it up wrong. And she had to come to a place where she understood, no, this is wrong. This is a lie. It's not that I have to be able to get my fingers around my wrist. And once she was able to identify that she was processing her mind, her thoughts in a wrong way, which is not truth, she was able to process her mind and her thinking with the truth and say, oh, it does not base here, and it doesn't stop here, then all of a sudden she was gaining and had no problem. Her sickness was gone by understanding a truth, that it's true that my fingers are short. I don't know what the truth was for her, but she was able to understand that this is not. And she was set free. And that's why I really believe what this truth does and how it sets us free. Verse 31, John 8, verse 31, Jesus says, "If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It says, if ye continue in my word. I really believe that if we continue in the word, we can find truths and enlightenments. And I strongly believe that we have to come to a place where there is, I've been saying often this way, that you have to come to a place when somebody explains you something and you say, I get it. I really believe that we have to come to a place where there is I understand. And I think that is what that means here. If we continue in the word, we have to continue. We have to continue receiving the that we can grow, and that we, and the more times that you have been able to receive, in other words, I could read this way, and ye shall know the truth, and shall make you free. That's the truth. If something clicks, that it enters, that's what makes us free, and if we're doing that, and if it comes off of the word. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And this is where I would like us to spend our mind and our heart in the Spirit of the Lord. I'm not trying to convince you to go and spend time elsewhere, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And verse 18, the last part of it, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And that's my heart, that we would, by the Spirit of the Lord, being changed from glory to glory. And I believe that the change happens when there's a truth that comes to our heart. Other than that, I have not found myself to be changed if that truth doesn't enter. If that truth doesn't come in a way that I say, if I can't say that, it doesn't really enter. And I believe that we are somewhat like a container. Please take this as a thought, right? Not as sealed and finished. But I believe there's something like a container. And whenever there's something that falls in and we say, we are filled with the Spirit, there's liberty in our soul. And we have different amounts of liberty in our lives. There's people that have been able to understand by reading the Word or by something, and they are filled with lots of liberty of the Spirit of the Lord by coming. And as I said, I believe that it fills by the truth. And then whenever the truth comes in, and here each of them equals a freedom, every line. We know that, we are not in the Old Testament anymore. We don't need to go by the law. We are free of that. Probably there's freedom in that part, that we don't need to follow the Ten Commandments, or especially the sacrificing of bulls and goats. Free, no problem. And then we grow, and then we come to a place that, that's right. We are not set free if I dress perfectly the way Grandpa did. And then we find some freedom there. Or some kind of church rules that we thought it had to be this way. Oh, we understood, yeah. No goats, no bulls anymore. Yeah, we understood that one. We understood, we don't need to dress exactly like Grandpa or Grandma or whatever, or Dad. Yeah, we understand that. And then we understand, we don't need to, like, church pattern or whatever. We find that lie, freedom there. And then another one here, that's probably where I am more on that area of finding freedom. Do I have freedom of myself? How would I explain that? Okay, let's say myself. We don't have a eraser, just like this then. Let's say this is my head here, and I have lots of understanding here, and it's all Bible probably. Saw that the wrong way. Bible, good knowledge, it's up there, and we have even this understanding here. It's also inside, and then we find ourselves telling our own mind tells our heart what to do, what to believe. Are we set free? No, we are not set free. It's not the church anymore telling us what to do. It's not the Old Testament telling us what to do, but our mind is telling our heart what to do. I'm not trying to say that you don't use your mind. No, use your mind, be obedient, live the Word of God as much as you can. But I'm trying to say is that we can have knowledge and it does not set our heart free. And we've been talking about that often. It's a common thing we've been talking about. But I'm just trying to bring that back there that we can have freedom in different areas, and then we can be bound by our own mind or by our own thinking. And then from here, I like to change over to some truths that are very important that we have to understand in our life to understand salvation, to freely understand that, at least part of them. I could keep on adding points. I do have some ready to talk about today, and there can always be added more, but I like to talk about God, Father, and Spirit. This I'll give it as number one, and then there's more things I can talk about if I get further. Depends how I might finish it quick. I might stay long on it. I might be getting empty. I'm not sure where I'm going, but time is going too, so that's not too bad. Okay, God. We have to understand God, otherwise we can't get born again. Is that right? If you have no clue who God is, there's not even a conscious or any figure of you in you that knows God and has understanding God, you can't get born again. I really believe that you can't. I believe you have to have an understanding of God. You have to have a truth in you so that you can be set free. What I'm trying to bring out is that you have to have the truth of God, the truth of God in you to be set free. That's what I'm trying to bring at. The truth will set you free, and one of the truths that does set you free is if you have an understanding of God and who God is. And if you do have an understanding of God and who God is, then that does set you free. For example, if you figure that, well, God is up in heaven, He's not everywhere, and that is something that you have in your heart, then you will be tempted, if you move out to a different place, to be sinning because God is not here. You could be tempted by a temptation that God is not everywhere, so I can move from one place to other. For example, Jonah's story. Jonah must somewhat have had a blank there that God is everywhere, otherwise he wouldn't have been running away. Or? I'm not sure. You know? You understand what I'm trying to say? But if I have a blank that I didn't come to a place and say, ah, God is everywhere. Oh. If I have not that in my heart, then I will be tempted to go out and sin behind somebody else's back and believe I can sin, and I'll tend to fall in areas when others don't see because I have this truth missing in my life. And if you find yourself sinning when there's less familiar people around, then probably that is one of the things that is missing in your life. The truth of God is everywhere. And so I wanted to talk about God just so that we have a broader understanding of God, who God is, so that it does set us free if we understand God more. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I wanted to bring out this part here, that for he that cometh to God must believe that God is. We must believe that God is. We can then say, oh, that's not just something that everybody just does. So there's nothing wrong if there's an atheist, because he's just missing this one verse here. The only thing the atheist has different is that he must believe that God is not. That's the only difference. He's not that far out after all. We must believe God is, and an atheist only needs to believe God is not. We're not just falling on the side that God is. We must believe that God is. It's not by just a happening that God is. Maybe that light was on for a long time. But we have to have that light, or that, God is. That's something that we have to believe. And then it goes on, which is another part, that we, if we would understand this, it says who God is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I'm not sure if the light is on that one for me, but to a measure it is. He is a rewarder to them. Somehow, if I would, this is where I believe I'm still short on. I don't think that God has filled the truth of this verse in my life, honestly, because I cannot feel inside of me that I'm diligently seeking after God because I know He's going to reward me. I am much more tempted to diligently be faithful around society that I can have a good living rather than diligently seek to get a reward from God. If I could explain myself a little better with that, what I'm trying to say is that it's much easier for me to understand I get a paycheck than to understand that God is going to help me through all dark places. And that shouldn't be that way. I should much easier, this is what I believe, I should much easier believe that God is going to reward me if I diligently seek Him than that, oh yeah, for sure, if I go out and work, I get my paycheck. It's clear. It's not a question. Or does anybody of you question, okay, if I would go out and work 40 hours this week, maybe I'm not getting a paycheck. No, it's clear. Yes, we're getting our paycheck. But is it that clear in my heart that, oh yeah, God is going to reward me. Oh yeah, yeah, He is. Is that, oh my, I wish you had it. I have to confess, that's one part that I need more freedom. And then John 4, verse 39. I mean chapter 5. I wrote it down wrong. Chapter 5, verse 39. It says here, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. I'm pointing at this part here. Search the scriptures. They are going to bring the understanding, and they are going to bring the truths into our life if our heart is there to receive them. It says here in the Bible, that way here in John, Jesus' own words, and let's do that. Now, we'll look at God's everlasting a little bit. Psalms 90, verse 2. If we have an understanding that God is everlasting, then we are much more freer to let go of our life because we understand God is from before, He is now, and He is in the future. And if we have that of a clear understanding, if that truth is in our heart for sure, then all of a sudden our being, our body kind of vanishes away because God is everlasting. If we can come into that truth, if that can drop in our inside, and then that deletes tons of fear and whatnot all, of being afraid to die, and what if, and all those things. If we have an understanding that God, from past, now, and future, if that comes in and it lightens up our heart, then all of a sudden, it deletes all this, the layer of whatever it was in your life. It could be different issues, different things in people's life, in different areas. But let's read the verse in Psalms 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Many of these truths I will never be able to give you. What I'm trying to say is I might be able to teach somebody to add two and two, and if I stick to it, he might be able to learn that it's easy for him. But The Bible says very clearly that the Spirit of the living God has to draw a person to life. And that part, I believe that there are some of these truths that contain to the spiritual world and to contain to our heart. There are those things that the Lord has to teach us. We can come to a place that we are willing to learn, but then the Lord has to teach us. And that's what I'm trying to say. I can read this verse here and I can say, okay, yeah, before the mountains and before the earth and before the world, God was there and He's going to be and for everlasting. And I can read it over and over and over, and it can happen. It can happen that I can get that into my head. It can happen that that easily knows that. And this is where we have our 2x2s and all of that there. That's where we keep that. But the Spirit needs to come down and live in here and give truths to our hearts down here. With we know here, and there's nothing that comes in and gives us truth in our heart without coming through our mind. I don't think so. I mean, miracles can happen. Sometimes probably that does. But normally there has to be an understanding, and then that can come down. But what I'm saying is, if I now know, oh yeah, that's right. From everlasting to everlasting, and it's so easy that I can just fill it out quickly. That does not mean that my heart has freedom. And that's where I believe it is always a gift of God if something can come in here as freedom. It's a gift of God. It's something that we cannot do. And whenever a man gets a measure of more freedom, it's a gift from the Lord. Let's look at God's consistent being the same. James 1, verse 17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Oh, that's a good verse. If that would fall into our heart, what then would we have been able to understand? If you'd look at this verse for a bit here, and you'd say, every good gift and every perfect gift, how far can we go? You know, just a simple thing. Nails are very, very good. If nails weren't good, the roof will fall down. Isn't that right? This is a simple gift, like a good nail that works. That's a gift from God. That house is down clapped by nothing. That's a gift of God. That structure can stand by itself. That's a gift from God. It's not nothing else but the gift of God. That stones hold together with concrete and that they stay on the wall. That's a gift of God. It's good and it works. And that's a gift of God. It's not just bah. No, it's a gift of God. And there we can have tons of gifts of God that we slip, never think about. And these that I were mentioning, they are minors, right? They're gifts from God that are beyond what I was just trying to say from the material things here. I'm just trying to say that if we would have understanding that good gifts and the perfect gifts there from God, that could enlighten a whole layer of freedom in our heart. And then there could be also this part where I was coming to, that is, neither shadow of turning. Okay, if that's true, then we can read the whole book, and wherever there's anything about God, we know, okay, that's God. We can read the whole book, we could follow everything what God is, where God is, what God said, what God tried to explain to the people, how God was to the people, and then we can say, oh, that is God. And now we can read this verse and says, oh, He's not changing. It is still that very same God that wrote all of these things. And then if that light goes on in our hearts, say, oh, okay. So this is God. I'm learning about God. I have an understanding who God is. Then that does give lots of light of understanding in our heart. Freedom. There's freedom to move back and forth because we now have an understanding who God is. The Old Testament has lots and lots of stories to teach us who God is. If we think about Noah, Cain, Ahan, and there's many, many more stories. And then the full law, we can learn who God is. And God has not changed, even from the Old Testament. there's not a turning. And Jeremiah 23, verse 23, this is a very good verse. It starts with a question, and verse 24, it ends with a wonderful truth. And it's still a question, though, but it's a truth. That's the one I was talking about the first. If God is everywhere, if we have that understanding, this verse talks about that. Am I a God at hand, said the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, said the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, said the Lord? If we have an understanding that God is everywhere, just 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, this is over a period of a longer time. I have been able to understand this more, that God is everywhere. God is spirit, and it is almost as if I can inhale, it's like God. It's just about as if I can feel the air, then there is God. So if there's somewhere that you can go, that you can feel air, or if you can inhale, then that's where God is. And that helps me to be much more God conscious, which does set a man more free. And Isaiah 6, verse 3, it says about the holiness of God and filling of the earth with His glory. It's where the angels were flying and they were crying one to another and said, "Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." And that's very true. Can we see the glory of God? If we know how to interpret the glory of God, if we do have that gift inside of us, that we know how to interpret the glory of God, then we are able to see God in the whole world. And a little part opened up more a few years ago, when I saw that a human has the image of God in him, which I believe is the power of deciding, is part of it, the power of deciding, that then if he decides to be an atheist, I still glory, because hallelujah, it works. He's able to decide to not love God. Now I can see, wow, it is working. And this other man chooses to live a wicked life, and they say, wow, it's working. He's able to live a wicked life because God created him that way. It sounds a little bit foolish, but it gave me lots of freedom to still go them and love them. Anyways, because I am seeing it is the glory of God that is working in this man, I can go up and see him, and whatever he has decided to live, that's the glory of God that was working in him, that he was able to become who he is. And that has brought me lots of freedom to be able to meet up people that live all together different than what I would. Because it was the glory of God in them that were bringing them to the place where they are, which is not oftentimes for the glory of God, but it is the glory of God that brought them there. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. That's a verse that has lots of good words in it. Even words that we're using in the New Testament. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is He. Oh, I love these verses that clearly talk about God, who He is. The word iniquity, I'm not sure if I have the right understanding. But the way I understand it, it for sure brought me lots of life or lots of truth into my in my soul and gave me freedom. And iniquity, I understand that way, that is a behavior of a race. That's not finished. It's not fully explained, but part of it is. Let's say I, as a Russian Mennonite, I have this besetting sin that I, because of my culture, I happen to do this automatically, which is wrong. Maybe speak Plattdeutsch before English people or something. I don't know. It is a tearing down rather than building up that comes with us automatically without thinking. Something like that. That's how I somewhat would interpret iniquity. That's at least a slice of it. I'm not saying that it's fully explaining iniquity, but a part of it. And that helps me to understand that God does not have that. In this verse, God does not have that he, because he is God, he has this odd things that slip by because he's that way. I don't know in our setting, which I think would come in somewhat of this, but if we would say, oh, he is a penner, or we would say, oh, he is a freezing, or if he's a rhymer, a bell just rings. We know. I don't know, you probably know what a Yancey is, or Martin, or Hirschberger. I don't know what you have here, Gerber. Whatever, if you say that, then, yeah, that's right. Well, I guess he's just one of the Gerbers. Well, you're just saying, he is one of them that is loaded with that iniquity. That's how I would say. Yeah, I know him. He's having that iniquity with his family. He's in that race. And Jesus Christ wants to set you free so that you don't know if he's a rhymer, or a freezing, or a penner. The Lord wants to work us in that way that we don't just know, no, that should come away. The Lord doesn't want us to have that in our hearts, that we are identified by our last name because of our behavior, if it's a bad behavior or a cheap behavior. That explains it somewhat, anyways. And God does not have that, but God does have something that says, if we hear God, then we can know, that's God. Yeah, that's God. God does have that. But it's not iniquity. If we would turn to that in Psalms 23, that's a good part of it. I love this part in Psalm 23. The very same thing I was talking about. Oh, yeah, that's right. He's a coop. Yeah, that's who he is. All right. It says in verse 3, he restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I really love it because God's name, he is that way. He is that way. That's why he's doing that. He's leading me into righteousness, and he's leading me in paths that are straight, and he restored my soul. Why? It's not a cheap one, but that's the good one. That's right, because his name is that. Just added that there. And okay. Psalms 103 verse 8. That's a very good one. That talks about God is love. I must have missed it, but it's not the word love, but it's a very good verse. I'll read that. It talks about how the Lord is. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. It describes how God is. It describes how God is. Slow to anger. Okay. Right there I can say, well, I need more, because merciful, gracious, it does not just ring a bell on me immediately, say, oh yeah, I know exactly what that means. I mean, yeah, I have experienced it. It's like, yeah, I have to come to my mind, I have to think about it. But I should have more of that inside of me, that I would immediately know what to testify and talk about that. I believe that's how we should be. I think we should come to a place that we immediately have a testimony in our heart, knowing what we're talking about, if we're talking about being merciful, or I'm not saying that we have to have a happening, but we have to have an understanding. And from here we could go into longer stories. We could look at stories how God lived amongst the people on this world in the Old Testament. We could go on and see those that made good choices. We could look at their life. We could look at those that made bad choices. We could look at their life, and we could have a much broader understanding on who God is and how we could respond to God. But we can keep on doing that as we keep on serving the Lord. This is the message then for today. Thank you.